90 FM 105.5 WGCH and WGCH.com anywhere. WGCH News Center time is 7:51, and for Thursday of each month, it's State Representative Harry Arora of Greenwich with his legislative update. Representative Arora, good morning. Welcome. How are you today?
Good morning. It's always, I'm doing well. Always a pleasure to be with you, and good morning to all your listeners.
All right, lots to talk about, so let's get right to it. We'll start off with the state COVID-19 response update.
Yes, so, you know, the most important thing here is that while we have seen a small uptick in cases, so to give you an idea, you know, our new cases per 100,000 population was hovering around 3, which is very manageable and low and safe, and it has gone up to 4.5. But it's come back down a little bit. It went up all the way to 5 and is now back to 4.5. So the uptick is primarily due to increased testing on one side, and secondly, some degree of students coming back from college because they were tested positive. And so it's under control, but the more important message is we saw a slight uptick, and we need to make sure we keep taking all the precautions to keep this in check. The other update is that last week, the Department of Labor approved the Lost Wages Assistance Program. This is for anyone who has been displaced from their job or lost their job because of COVID. And so it enables another 6 weeks of additional help, which is $300 a month and is effective from July 29th. Now, this is eligible, those who are already on the program, on the unemployment insurance program are eligible for it, and they need to go certify. And that's the most important message I have for those listeners who are on the program. Please go ahead and certify on the website so that you can be sent that assistance either this week or next week.
All right.
And finally, there was a clarification on the travel advisory. Now, if you are traveling to one of the states which has high infection rate, and the list is out there published on the website by the Connecticut Department of Health, you have the option also that if you take a test 72 hours before coming in or soon after you come back to Connecticut and it comes negative, and you send that copy of the test to the Commissioner of Health, you can you are okay not to quarantine. Otherwise, you have to quarantine for 14 days. So those are the three things I thought would be important for your listeners.
Good. Let's talk now about the schools reopening, how that's been handled, and of course, high school football, which has become a hot topic.
Yes, yes. You know, school reopening first, I think things are going good. I'm always cautious, but I think I'm pretty excited or delighted that the fact that we have been able to reopen our schools in Greenwich, especially both the elementary and middle schools are 100% in person, so which is really good. You know, we have to take a lot of precautions, and we are, and our school systems are doing that. But things are reopening. It has been good. There has been, I think, only one case reported, which was identified early on. So there has really been, it's been a good reopen so far, and we want to keep it that way. So once again, the message is, let's take all the precautions, you know, keep the kids at home. If there is even a slight chance that there might be some reason to believe that there is exposure, but other than that, we want to keep them open, and everybody is doing a great job. People are taking precaution, which is really good. Now, high school football, yes, that was a really big deal, because most of the sports are being allowed, and high school and football has been kind of singled out, I feel. And the Department of Health is basically saying this is amongst the more riskier sports. So there was a big protest, as you know, many of our students and many of our football from around the state went to Hartford about a week ago. And the governor and the DPS sat down with the league, with the CIAC. But really, you know, where we ended up was that perhaps we will do spring football and a 7-on-7 for this season. 7-on-7 football, which is not really tackle for this season, a passing game. And I think it's not clear to me that that's the right answer. But for now, that is the answer, it looks like. So there's still some discussions, but for now, it looks like this season is going to be not a 7-on-7 football. That's what the CIAC is talking about, and that's what most schools are sitting down to discuss a process or a schedule for. So not the answer which many students and many football players wanted to hear, but that's where we are.
All right. And it sounds like there's this idea of club football also that they're trying to put together, I know, in Greenwich and in other places around the state.
Yes, that's right. That's the other option. And I'm not clear, it being done outside by the schools and by the initiative, which I really, really appreciate. I think some of the coaches and some of the parents and some of the students themselves have taken initiative. And it is a possibility, but at this time, it's not clear whether that's happening or not. But, again, I love the initiative that's being taken. At the end of the day, if things can be done safely and good precautions can be taken, I do think it's possible to play good football this season or some football this season. But at this point, as I said, the discussion is from the state has been more around 7-on-7.
All right, let's talk about the special session coming up next week. What will that entail?
Yeah, so the special session is scheduled for the House on the 30th of September. It's a late date, considering that we are a month away from the election to have a special session. But we're going to be there, and the agenda is about 7 or 8 bills. It's not been fully decided, but top of the list is the electric bill, or what is being called the take or grid back bill. And there are two or three key provisions in that bill. The first one is a performance-based compensation or incentives for the utility. And the only challenge I see with that is that it gives a two-year period or two-year time for the regulatory authority to investigate and figure that out. And I think our residents and our community really need a faster answer to the very high prices of electricity we're seeing. So we're advocating for something a little more concrete, and perhaps that may happen. But what is the draft right now, which has been proposed, consists of, number one, the performance-based incentives, and number two, compensation for those customers who have had outage more than a certain amount of time. The time being discussed is 72 hours or 96 hours. And we want it to be 72. Perhaps we might end up with 96. And the compensation is supposed to be $25 a day over that time period that the customer has outage. So some degree of incentive for the utility to make sure that they prepare better, they get their act together, because what happened 2 weeks ago or 3 weeks ago earlier this month was very unacceptable, where so many in our community did not have power for 3, 4, 5, 6, and sometimes 7 days. In today's day and age, especially when everyone is, well, many people are working from home, that's not acceptable.
And then finally, very quick, absentee ballots and counting.
Yes, so absentee ballots, as you know, the legislator passed a bill earlier that, because of COVID sickness, one can apply or vote by absentee, which is the application forms have been mailed out. I recommend everyone should have received them in town. I think it's important to fill them, as instructions come with it. I think it's important to fill them and send them out so that on October 2nd, the ballots will get October 2nd or 3rd. The ballots will start getting mailed. So I think it's important also for everyone to really get them back. Now, the question being discussed in the legislature is whether we should allow the town clerks to open the ballots earlier. Generally speaking, the town clerks are saying that that's not a good idea because of confidentiality and many other things, and they are in a position to actually count or tabulate the ballots on the last day within a few hours. But at the same time, there's a big push we are hearing, and I'm hearing from many constituents, that perhaps we should give them an extra day or two to start earlier. So So now this is still being discussed. There's going to be active debate on it. And my personal opinion is that, which I'm discussing with many of our constituents, is that we need to make sure that the results are done fairly and on time. And so both of those things have to be managed, because the real issue is we don't want the results to start leaking out. So that's one side of the equation. But nevertheless, be assured that we will ensure that the town clerks and the registrars have the tools to make sure that the elections are fair and the results are available on time.
All right, State Representative Harry Arora, thanks very much for your time again, Representative.
It's always a pleasure, and thank you, and a good day to all your listeners.
State Representative Harry Arora joins us the fourth Thursday of each month. Let's get to the WGCH National News Report here on AM 1490, FM 105.5, WGCH Greenwich, WGCH.com. Anywhere, I'm Tony Savino, and the news already in progress.
For his leadership.
As we work together through this, I just want to thank you for...